We continue our learning. We are in Ksuvos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Aleph. By way of introduction, the Mishnah in the 8th Perek of Bava Kamma, the Gemara as well, discusses the payments of Nezek, Tzar, Ripur, Sheves, and Boshes. This is the payment for injury. Nezek is the depreciation of value as a person would be sold as a slave on the market because of the injury. Tzar is the pain. Ripur, the Gemara discusses how you evaluate pain. Ripur is a medical bill. Sheves is unemployment, the fact that you're injured, you can't work. And boshes is the embarrassment that's incurred because of the chavala, because of the injury. What if a person injures an eishes ish? So could we argue that some of those payments should go to the husband? He has rights to some of those payments. So that's what the discussion is in our Mishnah. Mishnah, we've learned before that the mitzia of a woman goes to the husband and the maisei adayim go to the husband, nechsei melug go to the husband. So the question is, what happens here? So a couple of things are obvious. The tzar, the pain, she suffers the pain. So that payment goes to her directly, to the woman. Ripui, the husband is obligated to pay for medical bills. So obviously the one who did the injury, the perpetrator, should give that money to the husband. And sheves, unemployment, well, if she can't work, the maisei adayim that a woman or that a married woman earns, so those go to the husband. So in exchange to the mizonas, if she can't work, so that's his financial loss. So therefore, obviously, the unemployment payment, the sheves, is going to go to the husband. What about, though, Boshes and Nezek? So that is the discussion in our Mishnah. Mishnah begins, Mitzias ha'isha u'maisei yodeh lebala. Someone we know already from Perek Dalet, Mishnah Dalet, an object that a woman finds and our maisei yodeh go to the husband. V'irusha sa, and if after they're married, nechasim, some possessions fell, b'irusha from her family, and now fall to her. So who ochel peris b'chai? The husband, this is what we call nichse melug. The principal, the keren, still belongs to the wife, but the husband eats the peres, is able to profit from those. Or if you remember, that was the extra privilege that a husband has over the father. Father, yeser alav, you may remember the language. Yeser alav habal she'ochel peros b'chayah. That's one of the privileges that the husband has over the father. Of course, the mitziah is, and some of the other things go to the father as well. But the nichse malug, the eating peros, that is something that's a privilege that a husband has. So this is all true regarding the mitziah, maisei adeah, and Yerusha. But says the Mishnah, Bashta ufigama shela. But if she is injured, so the debein boshes, the embarrassment, which we've discussed in the past, how we evaluate that, and the pagam, which is what we call nezek. Pagam is usually the word we use, the defect, the depreciation because of ones and mefata. Here we're using pagam as it relates to injury, which is what we usually call nezek. So her depreciation of value as sold as a shivcha bashuk, so how much she was before, now what she is now, so that says the Tana Kama, that belongs to her. The boshes is her payment, and the pagam goes to her. The perpetrator pays her directly, not the husband. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra Omer, it depends. Bisman shebaseser, if the injury that she receives and therefore the embarrassment because of the injury is in a place that's private on her body, so loshnei chalakim velo echad. So she, the wife, is going to get two portions of the payment of boshes and pagam, and the husband is going to get 1/3 of the payment of the boshes and pagam. Because the majority of the boshes is the woman is the one who's suffering. Uvizman shebegalut, but the husband a little bit, because this is his wife, and it reflects upon him. Uvizman shebegalut, but if it's an injury that's exposed, that's revealed, that can be seen. There's some discussion about maybe that's also true if it was an embarrassment that was in front of people as opposed to where Bisman Shabbos, maybe it was done in private, Ubisman Shabbos, so lo shnei chalakim, the husband now has 2/3 of the payment of the boshes and pagam, and vela echad, and the woman only 1/3. Because here we assume, because it's something that's begoli, it's exposed, we assume that the Baal is even suffering more than the wife because of the injury, and therefore 2/3 belong to him. How does the payment work? So shelo inasin miyad his chelek, whether it's 1/3 or 2/3 in the boshes of begam, that the husband gets right away and does whatever he wants with that money. Vishelo, but the payment that goes to her, so that doesn't go directly to her. Remember, anything that a woman has, so the husband really owes. So this would be like nichse maluk. He would be able to eat the payment. So how do you do that if someone's paying her cash? Yilakach b'hen karka, buy a piece of land, buy some real estate, buy an animal. And then Huachel Peros, and he's able to eat the profits of those. So the husband doesn't own that Karen, that principal, but Pia Peros he does own. And according to the Tanakhama, by the way, that would be true regarding not 1/3 or 2/3, that would be true regarding the entire Boshes and Pagam. The idea is that even though the money is going to her fully, according to the Tanakhama, nonetheless, what she owns, the husband really owns as well, so therefore you have to buy karka with it, so the principal remains hers, and the husband, though, is able to accrue some of the profits from that karka. Perek Vav Mishnah Beis needs a little bit of an introduction as well. The Chachamim has said, as we know, that we want a father to fix a certain a dowry for his daughter when she gets married, and hopefully it's a significant one, and that's so that there are koftsim, people literally jump and are interested in marrying her. In fact, there's an asmacht, it's not a doraisa, but an asmacht, there's a support for such an idea from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Perek Chav Tes, because the pasuk says kichu nashim v'holidu banim v'vanos, so you should marry women and have children, u'kichu levneichem nashim, and you should take wives for your sons, ves binoseichem tinu la'anashim, and give your daughters over to men for marriage. So the Gemara wonders, is it really within the hands of the husband to now he's going to go around to try to find a husband for his daughter? V'chi derech isha lachzor alish, is that really what's done, that the woman is going around to look for a husband? That's not the way it's done. The husband does that to look for a wife, but not the other way. So what does it mean you should give your daughters to men? Ah, mikan sha'av tzorich litain lebito tzorche halbasha. So it means that a father should give his daughter the need for clothing and give her a nedunya yafe kedei sheyimtzu koftzim aleha, so people interested in marrying her. So that's the idea of binoseichem tinu la'anashim. It doesn't mean that you're walking her around to try to find a husband. It means that you're providing her with the dowry necessary so that men are interested. That's what the Gemara says in Masech. Now, if a father, therefore, fixes a certain amount, pledges a certain amount of money for her nedunya for the son-in-law, and doesn't keep his word, so there's a debate about what the halach is. According to one opinion, the chasam could say, listen, either you give me what you promised in the dowry, what you pledged, or then I'm not marrying your daughter and let her sit until her hair gets white. Because you're not paying up, and we still have kiddushin, still married, I'm not giving her a get, he has the right to do that if the father-in-law is not keeping his word. And other hold no, a husband does not have the right to do that. He has to marry her, bring her to the chuppah. They already had kiddushin, get to the chuppah, and then he should take his father-in-law to court and be motzi the nedunya b'dayanim, because he has the right to do that. It wasn't written down anywhere. This is one of those examples, what we call devarim haniknim ba'amira. There are certain things that can be acquired merely by just saying. Gemara k'suvas adaf kuv beis. And that is really the topic of our Mishnah, where the Mishnah is coming to teach us that if, let's say, the Orus dies, they had a man and a woman got married, they had Kiddushin, and the father-in-law pledged a certain amount for when they get married, and now the Orus dies, and she, the wife, falls to Yibum. Question is, does that Nedunya now become the Nedunya of the Yavam, or does the father-in-law have the right to say, I wasn't planning on giving this to you, I was planning on giving this to the other guy, and you have no rights to it. So that's what the Mishnah says. Haposeg ma'os lechasano, per a father-in-law who pledged a certain amount of money as a dowry for his son-in-law, that's going to be placed in the ksuva as a nechse tzon barzel, as we discussed many times in the past. Umeis chasano, but now the oris dies before the nesuin, before chuppah. Amru chachamim, yachal hu sheyomar, the father has the right to say to the yavam, Liachicha ha'yisi rotze liten. I was interested in giving this money to your brother. Ulecha efshi liten. But to you, I'm not interested. In fact, the Gemara brings a brisa that would be true. Even if the first son-in-law was a Talmud Chacham. Or was an Amma Aretz, rather. And the second was a Talmud Chacham. The Yavim is a Talmud Chacham. So maybe you could argue there and say, listen, if you were planning to give that very significant and gracious dowry to the son-in-law who was an Amma Aretz, Amma Talmud Chacham says the Yavim certainly should go to me. The Gemara says, no, the father can say that, no, not true. I was interested in giving it to the first guy and not to you. And that is the halacha. Now, Yushalmi raises the following question, though. These are devarim, as we said, haniknim ba'amira, meaning if we just said that the arus acquires the ma'os, the money of the nedunya, because it can be done through amira, so then shouldn't the yavam be yoresh them? So the Yushalmi answers, poseku amanas lichnos, which means that there's really a tanai that's attached, there's really a condition attached to this pledge, meaning the father is only posek, only pledges this nedunya to his son-in-law, almanas, on the condition that they're going to enter the chuppah and have nesuin. But because the aris died before, therefore all bets are off.